Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friendos? This is In This League, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I don't know why I went deep. I just wanted to, like, not clearly say live because, you know.
Live.
Welcome to
Saturday Night Live.
Scott. All right. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welch. It's going to be 3 hours of madness here. Casey Bubba's coming on the show here in a bit. Lots and lots of
Featuring
football.
Featuring the Welch.
Bogman and I have this phone
Scott
call the other
Bogman
day.
And Casey Bubba.
And Kenan Thompson. Featuring. We did this bit. So we have this thing. Our phone calls are, there's a couple pieces to our phone call. When we pick up the phone, there's always a bit. One of us is doing something, you know, some reference or anything like that. When the other is through a drive-thru, we say horrific things and then catch the person if they're on speakerphone or something like that. The third, and I guess it's not really a third. When we get into the bits, though, sometimes they come out of nowhere. For some reason, yesterday, we were on the phone and, like, I must have gotten deep tone for a second, and Bogman and I started going back and forth. We're like, it's Saturday Night Live, and we're like featuring this person, and we did it for about 3 minutes, and we couldn't have been happier.
With musical guest, the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
The Cherry Poppin' Daddies. Featuring the guy that they just fired because he made a joke.
There's no longer jokes allowed on Saturday Night Live.
This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We are the Welch. We are the Bogman. We are In This League. There's a lot of football to happen. But I'm a little sad because I did have to restart the Antonio Brown incident clock because we were doing all right for a little bit. We made it about, I don't know if we made it to triple or double digits, but we were forced to reset the Antonio Brown incident timer because he just can't help himself. When he's not farting on doctors, he's sending innuendo harassing type texts where, so he's got a second accuser that says, you know, he did horrible things. And instead of just like not involving yourself and letting like the process work itself out and maybe not incriminate yourself more, he decided to put the second accuser, who I think like painted his house or never finished or whatever, and put her on a text chain with his people, lawyers or whoever. And she's on it, and he goes on just ranting about how she's trying to get money. And then he starts mentioning, like, we need to look into her, posts a picture of her with her kids, says, that's her kids, let's look into this. And she obviously made that public, saying he's harassing her. And he just cannot help himself.
It's very weird and dumb. Like, I don't know how it's...
I guess it's harassing because you're saying you're going to be doing this stuff to her, but people are calling it threatening. I don't know that it's really threatening. It's just really, really stupid.
But it's like that thing where like someone's in the room. Have you ever seen that where like a celebrity,
yeah,
you'll
passive
be
aggressive,
but like,
right.
There'll be like I've seen this a couple times happen where there's a celebrity and his handlers and you're in the room.
You've been in a bunch of rooms with celebrities.
Yeah, I have. And you're like, you know, hey, what can we do to help? And then the celebrity will look over to their person. Can you tell him to do this? And then they tell you and you're just like, well, I'm right here. You can just tell me. And then they'll talk to their person again and they won't talk directly to you. He did like a version of that where he put her on there and then he's talking about her. You need to stop. He is 100% going on the commissioner's exempt list. I just want to say that right now. I have no doubt in my mind soon.
I mean, I would not bet on him not going on that list. So
I don't know if he's guilty of any of it. I don't know if he's guilty of any of it. He's going on the commissioner's exempt list because this guy cannot help himself.
Well, you didn't give me time.
Sorry.
To say my thing here. And what I want you to do is I want you to do that passive aggressive bit if you were the Saturday Night Live voice guy. So you're talking to your handlers. I'm standing right here. How would he say it?
What am I doing? Set me up again. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm Saturday Night Live. All right.
And you're talking to your people, but you want me to do something. I'm standing right here, but you can't talk to me. Right.
I would like you to have Scott Bogman look into this woman.
I'm right here. You can just turn around and say that to me.
Can you tell him to look why she wants so much money?
And now you just sound like a ghost.
I don't understand why she's trying.
I'm the ghost of the Saturday Night Live voice man.
I thought they were one of the real ones, but they just want my money featuring my cash.
Featuring my cash.
Special guest, my career.
There goes
my hero.
There goes my fame.
Is that what you're looking for? If I could find, I should actually read the whole thing as a Saturday Night Live guy. It shouldn't be too. Here it is.
Yes.
First one. Here it is. All right. So, here's the text. I'm going to read it. Really sad you would make up, bull stuff story to the world. Thought you had more integrity and the respect for yourself, but must be really hard times to make up some stuff for money. Super sad. This girl who. This is the girl who unfinished my painting in my room from Super Broke Girl with a Lot of Kids. Such a shame.
And does she know Kat Dennings?
He just posted a ton of pictures of her, too, in this text thread. And it says with five people. Why is he doing this?
I don't know.
This is my favorite. I'm sorry.
I don't know what the pictures were doing up there. I just maybe they were hit. Her Instagram or something.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
they
he
had
took,
a name on it.
Yeah, he took them from all that. This is one of his posts. And I'm going to do it as a Saturday Night Live guy. According to the post, she was going for a Meek Mill rally. I can reach out to his team tomorrow and see if anyone knows her. She sounds like a celebrity groupie. Featuring Meek Mill.
Is Meek Mill a singer? Special musical guest, Meek Mill.
You don't know Meek Mill? Do you know Tekashi 6ix9ine, whatever?
Yeah, I know that guy because he's always in jail, right?
Yeah, he's saying he put a hit out on somebody. He's one of them real ones, though. He's out there. He's like literally, he's literally out there doing some tests. I don't even know what's going on. I just know like he's
incriminating
himself.
Isn't he the one that narked on all of his friends so he wouldn't have to go to jail?
Yeah, I think so. He's got all the face tattoos and stuff like that.
Yeah, and his pink hair. I know who that guy is.
Yeah, you know. You knew him, but you didn't know Meek Mill.
No, I don't know who Meek Mill is.
Well,
I know that everyone in the NBA talks about Meek Mill. That's all I know. So
yeah. Well, everyone's now talking about Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown featuring CTE in borderline personality disorder.
And this is interesting right here. This was so the accuser's lawyer sent a letter to the NFL asking them to step in. And the reason this is important is because of the personal conduct policy, it prohibits harassment or similar forms of intimidation. And then that's an actual quote from it. So they haven't put him on the commissioner's exempt list. I got no doubt in my mind it's coming down. I don't know if it's this weekend. I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't be shocked if Sunday morning walks in and Antonio Brown has been put on the commissioner's list. But it's happening to me in the next couple weeks. Whether he's innocent or not of any of these things or guilty or not, or however you want to look at it, He cannot help himself. That was a stupid move.
Either way, he's an a-hole. It doesn't really, like, you know, I mean, obviously it does matter if he's, you know, a rapist, but he's an a-hole either way. So he's digging himself deeper into these situations instead of complying and getting himself out of them. And it just seems like whatever is good for him, he is doing the opposite thing at every turn of the corner. And I just don't understand why. And I'll never get it.
No, so. And you would have thought the Patriots had been a great place for him, too. It looked like a really good spot. I mean, there's good leadership there. I think I saw a post yesterday was talking about how they're getting Antonio Brown to kind of talk in Patriots talk, you know, during interviews and stuff like that. But it's like, man, he gets away from them. He's like, no,
you got to threaten people like I do.
Well, it's as soon as like an adult isn't around, he's just like, you know, I'm going to text her. And it's like, no, don't do that. Is there anybody out there that's not telling him to do better things? But also, like, who the hell is he listening to at that point? So,
right.
We're going to restart the clock. It has now been one day since there hasn't been an incident. Over under by week 5, he's on the commissioner's exempt list.
I think if they haven't done it by now, they're not going to do it. So I don't think he's going on it.
Under. I think it happens within the next week.
You're like tomorrow.
Yep.
It's happening. So, yeah. I mean, we'll see. You've said that I'd the whole ready. Time, but I feel like a lot of your Antonio Brown hate is because of your Josh Gordon love. You just want Josh Gordon to get back to being better. You're like, put him on the exempt list now. Let's go.
Oh,
let's give Josh Gordon some receptions out there.
You're a silly goose. It has nothing to do with my my son Josh Gordon or anything like that.
Your son,
though, he sure is taking quite a hit right now. James White, though, taking a little bit of a hit too. Patriots offense is an anomaly. I'm just saying, if you have Antonio Brown, I would make sure you have some contingency options out there. Hopefully you went and got yourself a John Ross. You got yourself a Terry McLaurin, something like that. Have a contingency is all I'm saying, because I wouldn't feel so positive of him long term. Now, exempt list could be like a week or two or something like that. But it's going on there. He can't stop. Won't stop. Can't stop. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. We've got the Thursday night breakdown. But I want to talk for a minute about, I think, which is a big important piece of news, and then we'll go into the Thursday game maybe in the next segment, is we officially got word that Devin Singletary is out from a football perspective. Because I don't feel like there's been a whole bunch of like really good stuff to, you know, there's like little things. Josh Jacobs lost a bunch of weight, but he's back to practicing. James Conner got a full practice in, which I felt really positive about. But the Devin Singletary one was one of like our biggest questions coming into week 3. He is officially out, which means Frank Gore eats season.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, I've got Frank Gore in a couple spots and I'm firing him up. And, you know, this is whatever Antonio Brown is, Frank Gore is the opposite. He just doesn't do things wrong, keeps his head down and just keeps, you know, getting 2.5 yards per carry for his entire career. Like that's just what Frank Gore does. And, you had him for a long time on the Niners.
I love them.
I saw a poem in the offseason that said the year is 2032. Frank Gore is still an RB2. So it's just the way that it goes. The guy is he's still popping up in all of our fantasy lineups right now. Well, 2019.
You know what's interesting? Actually, I want to look at this. What year was Frank Gore drafted? Do you remember? I want to look. Will you look that up real quick? Because
2011.
Because this is, I have relevance to it. I just want to know the exact, it wasn't 20. Like, he's been around. I want to say it was like 2009. Okay. Are you looking? I guess I can look.
Oh, I know. Well, I heard you moving around all your stuff. So
I was looking at somebody else. Let's see. All right. Because it was, okay. Is this for real? That's not for real. 2005. Okay.
Jesus.
This was my point. Frank Gore drafted in he was the first overall pick in the 3rd round. I just remember this. Knee injury at Florida. 49ers took him. Fantastic.
Miami, right?
Yeah, out of Miami. 2005. I just saw there's this article out right now that people should go check out because the picture is wild about Calvin Johnson. And Calvin Johnson was drafted in 2007. And doesn't it feel like he's been gone for 12 years? Doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels like he's been gone forever. I mean, but I think this is the 4th or 5th year he's been gone, isn't it?
Okay, even so. But there's an article out. I love that you can hear. I need to like squeak this thing. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so loud. It's from Sports Illustrated, and it's like Calvin. It's called Calvin Johnson Doesn't Regret a Thing About His Retirement because he retired early. That's not what I'm talking about. Have you seen the picture of Calvin Johnson in this article? I mean, I'm guessing not because you haven't seen the article.
No, I haven't seen the article.
It is Booger McFarlane-like.
Box. Oh, he just blew up?
Dude, no, his fingers are so screwed up. So I'm looking at it right now. I'll get the picture because there's only videos here. His right hand, his ring finger on his right hand is literally doing a post route. I swear to God, it's doing a post route. And his index and his middle finger on his left hand, they're running slants. His fingers look so jacked up. It was disturbing. And there's a video on it. And there's this whole article about his lack of regret with concussions and everything about leaving the NFL. And all I can think about when I think about Frank Gore is he's outlasting everybody. I'm looking at all jacked up Calvin Johnson, who had the world, you know, top receiver, all this stuff. He leaves. And Frank Gore, you just can't get him out. Frank Gore is like the, Julio Franco of football.
I'm looking at this. I don't know if this is the same picture, but
he's holding his hands up.
What is he doing?
Are his hands up above his near his face?
No, this one is he's got it flat on a surface and he's got his pinky just doing some weird thing.
Type in Calvin Johnson SI on Google real quick, and then you will see multiple pictures of the video. I want your reaction of you'll see the one finger that's running the post.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm on images. I'm trying to
just
find
go
it.
To news all. Not images.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yep.
Yep. Did I accurately describe his fingers as the slants and the post routes?
Yeah, his what would that be? His left ring finger looks completely screwed up. It looks like it's withering away.
Yeah, that's the one. I mean, literally, he could get in the huddle and they'll be like, all right, run a Calvin ring finger, left ring finger. And everyone's like, all right, that's a post. And then right hand. His right hand is the one with the post route.
And yeah, then his right hand. Yeah, and
his left fingers are doing the slants
too.
And his left finger.
Yeah, well, I saw a different picture on here where he can just take the pinky on his left hand and just make it completely point the opposite direction.
What the
because
hell?
Because it's all those passes from Matt Stafford. You know, they talk about how great Matt Stafford's arm is, you know, comparable to John Elway when he's coming out of Georgia. So. He has no touch. So Calvin Johnson just got those big beaters in front of his face and stopped the ball with them for so long that it screwed up his hands.
I guess he is jacked out. It is amazing what the NFL does to everybody but Frank Gore. Frank Gore is an absolute tank and he cannot be held back. All right, we're going to hit a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Thursday night game, Jaguars and the Titans. We'll be doing some DFS stuff. We are going to go through our pick'ems and everything for the rest of this. And then Casey Bubba's coming on. So don't you go anywhere. More on this league coming up.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering
and...
Littering.
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back to In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Walsh. My new favorite thing. We probably need a Saturday Night Live intro now. We're going to have to get one of those made up.
Ah, yes.
I think so. Featuring the Thursday night game. Horrific.
It should say it's Saturday Night Live or, you know, just what my favorite thing is when people cut in monotone stuff into like really super hyped up things like it's In This League.
Yeah.
Featuring the Welsh, and Scott Bogman.
You know who might be hosting Saturday Night Live by the end of the week is Gardner Minshew. That guy, is there anybody that has the league more by the jock strap than Minshew right at this point? He just did, pardon my take, he was offered $1 million by an adult company to literally just stretch in his Speedo. There are pictures of fans are taking pictures with him. There's this one picture. It's so great. He's in the Speedo. That's all he's wearing. And two fans are taking a picture and he's just got his face. Like, this dude just doesn't care. Everybody loves him. He's probably the most fun in the NFL right now. I'm trying to think, he's maybe like, I don't even know. Like, I was going to say, is he this year's like Nick Foles? But Nick Foles got all the fun nicknames and stuff. But Minshew just has a like, don't give a F attitude, and everybody absolutely loves it. And he goes out and he rocks on what wasn't a fantastic Thursday night game, but he beat the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, and he looked real good doing it, especially early in that game, too. So
20 for 30, two touchdowns, wasn't sacked in the game. I mean, he didn't have, you know, it wasn't a boatload of yards, 204 yards, but two touchdowns, effective. And he's got his boy with my originality, Bogman, DJ Chark. DJ Chark. DJ Chark. DJ Chark. DJ Chark. It's mine.
Yeah, it's definitely not yours.
It's mine.
I keep saying that. You're just not the first person to come up with that.
I think I am.
You're the first person. I mean, you
the first person to make
came
something.
Up with it. You came up with it. Sure. The first time you heard his name. But so did everybody else. So did every other dad in their mid-30s when they heard DJ Chark's name for the first time during the draft last year. So you don't think they were doing that when he was at LSU when you had no idea who he was? Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
Louisiana seems better than that.
Yeah. Well, does it, though?
Yeah.
Come on.
All right. Well, whatever.
Did you see Gardner Minshew's dad, by the way,
yeah,
after the game?
I saw some like who would win in a fight, and people are just picking out the biggest, bulkiest dad. Like, his dad looks terrifying.
He looks like a real image of what Stan Smith from American Dad would look like.
Yeah.
Like, he's just enormous. And they said, hey, Gardner, can you lift with your dad? And he said, I can lift around him, but I can't lift with him. No way.
Yeah.
So,
you know what, though? I would say, his dad is exactly what, like, if you look at Gardner Minshew and then you think, what would that guy's dad look like? It's exactly what he would look like.
Right.
It's just exactly. 100%. I mean, he is 240 pounds of pure muscle. His neck is just muscle. There's not a neck. It's just a muscle that connects the head. And he just has like weird looks on his face. And he's somebody that, like, that guy breaks up fights and everybody runs.
They were asking him
probably a lot of jock straps in that family too. Why Gardner's so comfortable?
They were asking him why is Gardner Minshew? Because Gardner Minshew is Gardner Minshew the second, you know, which is I don't care.
I didn't realize his dad was also Gardner Minshew.
Right, right. So he's Gardner Minshew the second. They said why not Junior? And he said, well, in the South, if you're Junior, You either become people call you Junior or Bubba, and we didn't want anybody calling him Junior or Bubba. And then he said, "No offense, to anyone called Junior or Bubba." So,
totally no offense.
We just wanted people to call him Gardner.
Is he?
He would be doing if he wasn't a football player.
What he looks like? He definitely looks like he owns a landscaping company for sure. How real is Gardner? Like, I'm in on all this type of stuff with him, but like, how real is he to you? Is he just another Blake Bortles? Is he just another guy that's going to get a contract? Or do you think he actually is the real deal? Like, you could also say, is the team, you know, like I've been mentioning, where what Mason Rudolph and Teddy Bridgewater should be used, simplified offenses, are the Jaguars doing just enough? Maybe it's simplified to make him stand out, a game manager, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, he scored. The first touchdown he threw was, it was after a fumble recovery. So he had a short field and all that stuff. So I'm not the biggest Gardner Minshew fan as far as how I think his NFL career is going to go. But he's been, you know, he's been an exciting player to watch. So I just don't think it's going to last very long. I think he's going to get figured out, because the problems that he had in college, from what I remember, you know, reading all the scouting reports and stuff, is he just never really pushed the ball downfield. Now, he had a couple of nice downfield passes last night. He had specifically one to DJ Chark, but, you know, it was like inches away from being picked off. And it's, you know, you see that and you're like, okay, well, it works now. But you throw that a little bit off in a second, and it's gonna not look good.
But
you
that's
know,
that game management. But so. To me, that's a game management stuff. Like, I think of like Chad Pennington.
That's fine.
Like Chad
yeah,
Pennington couldn't
he's
throw
fine
more
for
than
backup.
But Chad Pennington couldn't throw more than 20 yards, and he lasted in the NFL for a long time. I guess you're answering the question. I'm saying is, or I'm wondering, is this guy a real deal where like two quarterback leagues people can actually start looking at him? If we're talking about him as a Pennington, he's never going to be more than. You know, I mean, you know, with the 20 quarterback.
He's got to do a little bit more. He's got to do a little bit more because, you know, the Titans game plan, and it was the right game plan coming in, was we will not let Leonard Fournette beat us. Leonard Fournette had negative yards until he ripped off that big run in the fourth quarter.
Did you see that stat where it was like 15 carries, 65 yards, but his long was 69? Like, how does that even happen?
Well, it's because the offensive line for the Jaguars was so pathetic against the run. They handed the ball off to him and he got hit in the backfield immediately, like seven times. And, you know, negative rushing yards for a running back either means that this dumbass took the ball and went backwards when he saw a wall of defenders. And that's what happened. But that wasn't what happened with Leonard Fournette. It was as soon as he touched the football, there was a dude in his face every single time.
Nobody wants that.
You know, he had a couple of screen passes he caught, by the way. He caught six passes, and that's what I said was going to happen with Gardner Minshew. Is they're going to have to start throwing him the ball short because Minshew doesn't like throwing the ball deep. And that's exactly what happened in this game, but he didn't break anything until the Titans' defense was exhausted in the fourth quarter. So it works against the Titans. I just don't know if Gardner Minshew is going to work against other teams.
I wonder how, you know, D.D. Westbrook was targeted the most in this game. 9 targets, only got 5 balls. He's got a good connection with Chark.
He had 3 flat drops.
Yeah,
I mean, they hit him right in the hands.
And that the beaters. That's what I'm wondering, though, is where are we at on D.D.? Because D.D. has, I mean, was there a more hyped, like, this is going to be a wide receiver too? Just watch, just wait, everybody, team D.D. And it's been a disappointment. Chark has been undoubtedly the number one wide receiver, yet D.D. they're still trying to get him the ball. Do you think this could be the game where the offense turns a bit? Like, listen, we've tried 3 weeks. We're not going to force feed the ball to D.D. when he obviously, you know, he can't come through. He's not coming through. Or am I creating a storyline here?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not like they were down and he ain't Dante Moncrief. You know what I mean? So it was at least raining. You know, the ball was wet. So you can make excuses for him dropping the ball here. You know what I mean? So but they have extra time to prep, but they're on the road against Denver next week. So that's not a spot I want to be in. With Gardner Minshew. So I think they're going to get smashed in that game, but we'll see. You know, Gardner Minshew is the guy. I mean, did you see Nick Foles on the sideline?
No. Was it a tripod?
He looks like the biggest hipster I've ever seen in my life. He looks like he is representing the Portland Jaguars. So
looks like Gardner Minshew then.
No, because he's clean shaven. He had these big, thick glasses on and a weird hat. I don't know. I think it was just a regular Jaguars hat, but it looked weird seeing him on the sideline. He looked like a big, huge hipster. I'm like, where's his plaid shirt? That's all he's missing. Come on. Plaid shirt and a unicycle. And I'd be like, they're moving to Portland. Everybody get ready for it. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm just not. You know, D.D. Westbrook is fine. I think the thing here that we learned in this game is he got 9 targets. He led the team in targets. He's okay. He's going to be on the field and he's going to get targets. So I'm not extremely worried about him like I was last week when it was all Conley and it was all D.J. Chark. Chark has scored 3 games in a row. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you just if you have Chark, you probably need to start him until he doesn't score a touchdown, right?
Yeah. On the other end. Corey Davis has been in the same conversation with the Titans. There's a couple things here. Derrick Henry is still getting the absolute volume. They could not move the ball at all. Luckily, he saved everybody with a touchdown. But twofold here, they really don't know quite who they are. Adam Humphries and Delaney Walker were both targeted 9 times in the game. Humphries had 6 catches for 93. Delaney Walker, 7 for 64. That's solid. But Corey Davis was targeted 4 times, 3 catches for 44 yards. And on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast, I had said, this has got to be the game where people start to let go, because people don't want to let go of Corey Davis. It's 3 weeks now. But there is conversation. The bigger piece here is, when are the Titans going to make a change? And it looks like the steps, or at least the stuff, is in motion, because they're saying, nah, we're not thinking about a change yet. That usually to me is like the 2-week marker before a change actually happens, when you continue losing games. Mariota was 23 for 40. He was sacked 9 times. So it's not even so much Mariota as it is this offense. But, you know, Tannehill is very, very well versed in running for his life and might be a better option. I think Tannehill's the guy by week 5. I think next week, I honestly think after week 4, that would be into week 5, they're going to give a good long look, because I'm out on essentially everybody but Derrick Henry on the Titans.
Yeah, and it sucks that you kind of have to be, you know, I think Delaney Walker's okay too, but other than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point.
Walker's good too, but other than that, you can't really rely on anyone else here. And they're on the road against Atlanta next week, so maybe he'll look better in the passing game. But, you know, Atlanta's going to see what Jacksonville's defensive line did.
They're going to eat his ass up.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be out for blood, and they should be, because that's the part of the game where the Titans are just not very successful right now. They cannot stop anybody.
It's American
line. I think you're right. I think Ryan Tannehill gets in at some point. I think it's more because Mariota gets hurt, though. You know, Mariota's been hurt in the past, and if he's getting hit, you know, he was sacked 9 times. So what, he probably got hit 15 times this game? There's no way he's going to last. No one could last like that.
How many times do you recall, like, I guess it's more often than not, did you see him comfortable in the pocket? Or was he essentially always moving? Because like you're saying, I don't have the hurry numbers in front of me or anything like that. Sacked 9 times, you're clearly going to be on the run for the majority of it. And he threw 40 times. I have to imagine more than 50% of the time, he's just running for his life.
Well, he also took off 6 times, and that was surprising, because we all know that's a part of his game, but it hasn't been as big a part of his game as we would like to see it be, or what we expected it to be with him coming out of college. But in this game, he didn't, to be honest, throwing the ball, he didn't look horrible. He didn't throw any picks. He also didn't throw any touchdowns, because they just weren't close enough. And as soon as they would get in a 3rd and short situation, he would get sacked. So it just wasn't, just wasn't the night for this Titans offense. But, you know, something needs to change here. And I, you know, they can't change 3 starters on the offensive line. So it's probably going to wind up being the quarterback, like you said, and it's going to be Ryan Tannehill.
It'll be their slogan. Get a picture of Tannehill with all the colors. Change. Change is here. Ryan Tannehill.
Hope and change.
Do you think the Titans are going to be on one of the big quarterbacks in the coming draft? Like, they'll be just full give up on Mariota? Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, perfect. Bring in a guy like, I don't know, you know, Herbert or Baum, or, you know, I mean, I doubt they're going to be there for Tua, but you, because, I mean, aren't the Titans 1-2? Yeah, they're 1-2. I mean, I guess they could, but it wouldn't be the worst thing to have Mariota for one more year to bring in a quarterback. Like, I feel like they have to spend a top 2-round pick on a quarterback next year.
I don't know if they have to, you know, but if they're picking up that high, you know, I mean, unless there's an offensive lineman for them to take, they're probably going to be looking for a change of quarterback. And, you know, I would not be surprised to see, them take Jake Fromm or Herbert, but I don't know, you know, Tua. People that don't like Tua are making the Marcus Mariota comparison. So I don't know if they would be in on a guy like Tua, but
where was this?
Way more accurate.
Where was this on the like spectrum of games for you? Was this better than you expected? Because the Thursday night games are just
no.
No,
no, it was horrific. It was the Thursday night games. That's why I do the stream during the Thursday night games. I know I'm not going to miss anything good. And I help out with those guys that don't want to watch this terrible game because it's awful. So we all hang out. We eat super nachos from Federico's and we talk about this game. So the game was terrible. The referees were awful again. Did you see Tom Brady tweeting in the middle of the game?
Yeah. He's going to get fined for that, right?
No, I don't. Well, maybe it's Tom Brady. So I would guess so. You know, probably a 4-game suspension. I mean, you're not allowed to talk about the referees.
Yeah, he can. Yeah. Well, just anytime referees are brought up, the NFL just cracks it down. They have more of a crackdown on referee talking than personal conduct from players.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong at all.
You're not wrong. No. It was just so dumb, though. Like, he's right. And by the way, there were more penalties in the game last week with Jerome Boger. So this crew was better, but there were still, it was like the very first play from scrimmage, flag. And you just like, that's the tone you're going to get for the rest of the night. To be honest, like, if I didn't have my stream to do and I see flag on the first play of the game between the Jaguars and the Titans.
Join me out at the Arizona Fall League?
Yeah, I would have been like, I'll go see a movie. I'm not doing this. This is ridiculous. So, you know, the game was not good. It was sloppy. It was a Thursday night game. And you saw receivers dropping balls. It was raining. Here's what was better than last week. No lightning delay.
Yeah.
By the way, I've been calling those guys wussies for lightning delays, and I saw a soccer game where three players got hit, so I'm probably changing my mind.
A little backtrack on that. I would call Thursday night yucky, Bogman.
Yeah.
It's yucky. All right. When we come back, though,
yucky.
We are going to do some DFS, and some wasn't so yucky this week. As a matter of fact, Bogman and I, we did some work. We're going to drop our DraftKings, we'll drop our FanDuel, and then we'll get into the plays, so don't you go anywhere. More Bogman of the Welsh right here on In This League.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. It is In This League, featuring Bogman and his cranky auto picks and the Welsh. Welcome back. It is in the, we're done with the bit after this, by the way. It is in this league right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you friendos want to have a fantastic fantasy football season, come join us over on patreon.com/ITL Army. There is so much content. GroupMe rooms, live streams, chats, comedy secret shows. We had a really fun one the other night. We just went into all different circles. We do the secret shows a couple times a month. Next month, we have got the Breaking Bad movie and we have got Joker. Both of those are things. I don't know if we're bringing back a movie podcast.
And the Brad Pitt movie, by the way.
Ad
Estrada.
Advertisement. So whatever it's called. I mean, I don't know. We might have to just bring a movie pod. We might have to just create our own movie podcast and just drop them whenever we want. That might be what we do. But I don't know. We'll have some version of talking about all that stuff. It is the way you guys can support us. And there's a lot of just cool ways you can interact if you like the audio universe that is in this league. So patreon.com/ITL Army. Come and have so much fun and come check us out. Speaking of someone that has so much fun and is a loyal supporter of In This League, our guy Drew Snyder, Mr. Boom Shakalaka on Twitter, every week accumulates internet points from us. We assign internet points. So far, World Zero, Drew, I think 800, because I think he gets 100 internet points per lineup he sets. And he uses both of our DK and both of our FanDuel, and he enters them in contests. And he's tracking the money. And he's also told us, by the way, that like if we win money, he's going to like buy us something. Like we're going to get like a present. We're like little kids. Like we get to, or this is like our chores and we can earn a present. I'm kind of excited. So the first week, not so good. Didn't go well. Last week went swimmingly. Here is Drew's tweet to us. Kick ass job, guys. Cashed on all four lineups. He put us both in a DK tournament. I finished 236th, by the way, out of almost 12,000. Boggs finished just outside of the top 2,000, but you got in. Top score was 222.32. But even better news was Welsh is out of the negative and Bogman is close. So let's see. He did all of that awesome setup, by the way, and then didn't repost what my DraftKings lineup was. He posted the FanDuel one. I'm going to look here. I might have it because I want to see where the hell did I even go right. All right, so here we go. Last week, here was my DraftKings lineup box. I had Dak, Eckler, Breida, Sutton, Michael Thomas, Williams, Andrews, Barkley, and Niner defense. That got me that high. Were any of those guys good?
Yeah. Mark Andrews mean, Eckler was good again. Niners defense was obviously very good. Who was your quarterback?
Prescott.
Yeah, Prescott had three scores.
Yeah, I guess I was. Breida had over 100 yards. I don't remember Sutton doing anything.
Sutton didn't. He had like four catches.
Can you imagine if I'd had Sutton in there? But Thomas, and yeah, so that lineup, 222 points last week. And then we both cashed on the FanDuel. And I don't remember which lineup was which, but he posted those. One of us scored 145. One of us scored 130. Both cashed. So we in the monies, or at least I am now in the money. You, I think, you have a negative 20 cents profit.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I'm costing that 20 cents.
Something like
that. We got it. We're going to reverse that this week. I think I like my lineup a lot here.
Yeah, I think so, too. So I'm happy with both of these lineups. So let's start with DraftKings. If you want to win internet points and potentially money, you can do this. Do however you want. He's been putting them in big tournaments. You could do 50-50s. I don't care. And let us know if you do. Let us know. I would even, you know what would even be interesting since we can't play would be anybody that wants to do like a 50-50 of creating their own lineup and then verse our lineup. So two people would have to get in on it together. But whatever. Let us know. If not, Drew will just continue being an awesome dude. So break me down what you got on DraftKings this week.
DraftKings at quarterback, I went cheap. I went with my guy Mason Rudolph against your Niners because he was 4,800. He was one of the cheap buys that I got. My other cheap buy, I just want to do that one real quick. I got Tamari Bird for the Cardinals, 3,000. He's been getting receptions every single week. He's been a decent third option in that offense, especially, you know, if we have any question about David Johnson and the wrist, he has been the third guy in that offense so far. And for whatever reason, Murray loves throwing him the ball. So those are my two cheap guys. Running backs, the Welsh. Zeke against Miami, Todd Gurley against the Browns. I'm going expensive.
Okay, I like it.
Wideouts that aren't Bird, Marquise Brown at Kansas City, because I think you need to fire that guy up until he gives you a reason not to.
Well, he does have a little reason. He is a little banged up or something. He popped up on the injury report.
He didn't practice any Friday the first 2 weeks either, so yeah, just he's fine. Out. Yeah. I'll just point out that he didn't practice either Friday. That's like for whatever reason, like I don't know why teams have different, you know, rest days for their banged up guys or whatever. Because the Ravens do it on Friday, the Steelers do it on Wednesday. I don't know why there's different days, but I would think that you would want to get the guy in closer to game time, but they rest those guys on Friday. I don't understand.
I mean, so far so good. So
Chris Godwin. 6,900. I've got him at Tampa Bay at the Giants or at home against the Giants. The Giants cannot stop anybody at all right now. Vance McDonald, you know, I paired him with Mason Rudolph. He scored two times last week. I'm hoping he gets in the end zone again. And I picked up DeMarcus Robinson. I was kind of down on DeMarcus Robinson when we were talking about it earlier in the week. And then I looked at the snap count. And he had so many snaps. And if you're out on the field with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to get the ball at some point. We've seen it every single week. So he was 5,200. And my defense is the Cowboys. I'm just, you know, until the Dolphins score two touchdowns in a game, I am going to take whatever defense plays against them.
So you'll do it
because
for
they are
weeks.
So awful. So
yeah, you'll do it for what, 15 more weeks?
I will. And I don't normally I don't spend on my defense. So but I felt like I had to here. This you know, the Patriots, I think, are what paid out for my lineups last week because they had, you know, three touchdowns or what, two or three touchdowns. And, you know, Miami didn't score a point. And now they're starting the young buck here in Rosen. So it's been very, very ugly so far for the Dolphins. Yes, man.
All right,
so ugly for Miami.
Recap the lineup again.
Rudolph, Zeke, Gurley, Bird, Brown, Godwin, McDonald, DeMarcus Robinson, Cowboys defense.
All of them got last names except for DeMarcus Robinson. I like that. There's something that made me laugh about that. All right. I'm going back to the wheelhouse, and I've got Dak Prescott at quarterback this week on the DraftKings. He's up against Miami. Love it. 6,500. And he's near the top. He is, I believe, the fourth most expensive quarterback. You've got Mahomes and Jackson that come in at 7,000. Brady, Watson are the bread to the sandwich that is Dak Prescott. But versus Miami, it's a play. I'm with you with Ezekiel Elliott as well. I'm hoping there's going to be some, I mean, I might be eating into myself a little bit, but I'm hoping there's some two Elliott's running around and they're scoring 35 points in the first half. The other running back I'm going with is a little bit of a bigger bounce back in week three. I'm going with David Montgomery, who's only 5,200 up against Washington, because thank you and yes is what I'm hoping for. Wideouts, I went cheaper. I went one big guy. I'm going with Juju against the San Francisco 49ers secondary, which isn't fantastic. The other two, I'm getting a incredibly cheap Nelson Aguilar for only 3,600. That's a ridiculous deal for the guy that's going to be the number one this week. And I'm exposing myself to a little bit of Curtis Samuel. A lot of talk about a breakout this week. I think there's going to have to be a lot of short dink and dunk type of stuff that's going on. And Curtis Samuel's a guy that they may just try to get the ball in his hands, as well as Christian McCaffrey. So because they're going up against Arizona secondary, I think, is one of the absolute worst. And I think it's like they're the best matchup versus wideouts. I'm exposing myself a little bit there. Tight end, I'm going with your boy, Vance McDonald, who gets a revenge game against the San Francisco 49ers. And then I've got Chris Carson at flex versus New Orleans at 5,900 with a very expensive Bears defense against Washington. So I'm exposed to this Chicago, Washington, Dallas, Miami game pretty heavily. And actually, and I should also say the 49ers game. I expose myself to three big games here where I've got two for
each.
Will
you stop saying you exposed yourself? Will you stop that?
Welcome
in.
I expose myself.
Good so. Lord.
I feel like
just
this
say
is,
I'm invested in
I'm
this
invested.
Game.
That's
whatever.
A good point. I'm invested.
Instead of expose yourself, my God.
I get locked into that. This happened the other day when I was talking with somebody where they were like, oh, yeah, you know, I do this stuff and I can also video edit. And for some reason, instead of being like, that's a good trait, that's a good ability, I just got locked into saying asset. And I kept saying asset. And I was like, that's a really good asset to have. And then after, I was just like, I gotta be careful about
that.
Why
did I say asset so much?
I said it like seven times. And I could not think of the other words that were
all better. We just
told
the world you exposed yourself four times in a row to the. It sounds like you're going to show up to the Monday Night Football game in a trench coat and go streaking or something. That's what it sounds like. Good Lord.
I will not do that. I promise. So repeating, Prescott, Elliott, Montgomery. Wideouts are Juju, Curtis Samuel, Nelson Aguilar. I've got Vance McDonald at tight end, Chris Carson at flex, and Bears defense for 3,900. So a little bit more expensive. I feel okay about it.
Yeah, you know, I feel better about my FanDuel lineup, and I feel like we say that every single week.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I feel like it's just easier to put a lineup together on FanDuel. You want to hear about some of the deals, maybe make some changes here?
Yeah, let's hear them.
The quarterbacks here under the poverty line of 55-55. Stafford comes in at 5,500. Winston, 54. Dalton, 53. Brissett, 52. Cousins and Trubisky at 51. Daniel Jones at 5,000.
But are any of those deals? Like, Winston might be the only playable one there. I don't think any of those are deals.
I mean, these are just the guys that are below the average price.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, who would you actually play out here? Rudolph, you're playing.
I like Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
at Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay's defense is bad. But that's what, you know, if I was the Welsh, I'd say you want to expose yourself some way to the Giants at Tampa Bay game because the defenses are both so bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so I mean, maybe the actual under 5,500 deals are Daniel Jones, Jameis Winston, and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, because the ones underneath that are, I think Rudolph is the only one you could possibly want.
Yeah, you're not playing any of those other dudes.
Carr at 4,900, Rudolph at 4,800, Teddy at 47. Keenum's in here against the Bears. Joe Flacco's on the road against the Packers. Luke Falk is at 4,600. Rosen actually cost, Rosen and Kyle Allen cheaper than Luke Falk. Kyle Allen's at 4,000. It's not horrible.
It's not horrible.
Against the Cardinals, not horrible.
Yeah.
Running backs, we've got a banged up Mixon down here at 5,500. Breida's at 5,400. Josh Jacobs, Jalen Samuels, Damian Williams, David Montgomery, James White, LeSean McCoy are all 5,000 to 5,500. Below that, we've got Freeman. Freeman's looked so bad. I mean, 4,900 at the Colts, kind of a decent deal, right?
Yeah, it's okay. But when you go deeper, though, like we can look at some of those. I got two guys staring me in the face that I bet will be relatively highly owned. Carlos Hyde, 4,500, and Frank Gore is 4,400 against
Frank
Cincinnati.
Gore, 4,400 is a great, great deal.
There's got to be so much of him this weekend. Exposed, if you will.
Lindsay's down here at 4,300. Exposed. He's going to expose himself to many lineups.
Yeah.
So let's see. Who are the other losers down here? Adrian Peterson's at 4,000.
I'd watch Nyheim Hines at 3,400 if Mac. I didn't see. Is there an update on Mac?
He practiced fully on Friday. Okay, so Mac should be good to go.
Loser.
Yeah. But, I mean, Hines should still have more snaps because Mac is a little bit banged up. So it's a possibility. Tony Pollard might not be the worst buy in the world at 3,800. So
yeah, but you're so you're so reliant there. Like they have to get so ahead, so they put him in. I just hate those plays.
They're playing the Dolphins at home, so I mean, I didn't do it, so I'm not going out there. I didn't put it in my lineup, so I wouldn't suggest people to do it in their lineup. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised to see him in a ton. And Darwin Thompson down here at 3,000.
You want a play of play?
Well,
don't screw that Tony Pollard stuff. Here's a play for you. Jeffrey Wilson Jr., 3,000 goal line back for the 49ers.
Yeah. He gets in. You know, that's really about where they land on their scoring drives. Are they landing at the one or two? Then there you go. If they're scoring from the 10, which I expect, who's your stupid tight end? I expect George Kittle to have 200 yards and 7 touchdowns.
I did think about putting him in. I was considering him at flex because I think I can get him. Where is George? What is his price again this week?
Will Disley scores 2 touchdowns on Pittsburgh.
Could put Kittle in over Carson.
That's not bad. I might do it.
It's tempting.
Wideouts here. John Brown, Josh Gordon, Calvin Ridley, Jarvis Landry, DeMarcus Robinson, John Ross, Larry Fitzgerald, Mecole Hardman, Marvin Jones, Christian Kirk, and Marquise Goodwin are all 5,000 to 5,500.
I got two guys under 5,000 in my lineup. Again, just reiterating, Samuel at 4,800, Aguilar at 3,600.
Samuel makes me nervous. I like that Aguilar one a lot. I really like the Aguilar one.
Ooh, Debo 4,500 down here. Ooh.
DK Metcalf at 4,700, Cortland Sutton at 4,500. Like you mentioned, Debo 4,500, Terry McLaurin, who's put 2 touchdowns on the board, 4,500. They're playing the Bears, though. Sneed, I'm trying to look for someone. You know, the Steelers just announced that Deontay Johnson is going to be the starter opposite Juju.
Well, I was going to bring that up here because I got some video of it. And you already hit that. Maybe we'll, you know what, let's hit that when we come back because I want to play the audio of what he's saying because that could be a really big, important thing moving forward that it isn't James Washington. Like Deontay Johnson having it is a big deal. So we'll play the, actually, you know what? Let's just do it right here. We got a little bit, we got like 1 minute. So here's the audio of him talking about this, by the way.
Yeah, I'm just really trying to do what I can. Now I'm in the offense right now, starting. Just trying to continue to show the coach that I know what I'm doing and get ready for Sunday.
How much did last game and maybe the last two games really help where you are and where you're heading?
Really is just learning from Cree a lot and the rest of the guys, just trying to pick their brains or whatnot because they played more than me, so I'm just trying to see what they seeing out there on the field and just apply that to my game. So,
what did the coaches say you did to earn a bigger opportunity?
They didn't say nothing. They just put me in there and told me I'm the starter from here on up. And I just got to keep executing and making plays. Help the team win.
I mean, yeah. The starter from here on the way out, that's a big deal, Boggs.
Yeah, and it's funny because I like Deontay Johnson so much going into the draft, and I saw just wildly different scouting reports on him. A lot of people had him listed as a UDFA. A lot of people had him listed as like a third rounder, and that's where he went. Went in the third round. So
gonna be a popular,
exciting kid to watch.
Probably a popular play this weekend because I'm imagining he is pretty, pretty cheap. But we got to take a break here. We'll be back on the second hour. We'll do our FanDuel, and we'll look at some of our plays with Deontay Johnson, brand new starter. Let's go.